Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Grant and Danny live right now in D.C. on our flagship 106.7 in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. Wherever you are, Crystal Clear Odyssey app, available and free all over the country, and we are streaming video, live, YouTube, 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. Thank you for checking us out there. If you are doing so, plenty of ways to track down the show. The sponsor of this program is Kondorian Murad. That's a law firm that's going to guide you and your family in the right direction. Kondorian Murad are going to take care of you by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at KMLawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That way you can get a discount. KMLawyers.com. It is time to get the latest on the Giants. Let's scout the opponent. And to help us preview Sunday's game, we've got Dan Duggan, senior writer for The Athletic, who covers the Giants. So, Dan, why don't we begin with how loud the noise is surrounding Daniel Jones going into week two?
I don't know if you mean literally, because the boo started after the second play of the opening drive, so it was pretty loud in the stadium on Sunday, but I think that kind of sums up how ugly things and how toxic things really have been around him and the team, and it's only continued through the week. The one thing that's always kind of stood out about Daniel Jones and is kind of remarkable, there's lots of bad quarterbacks, there's lots of overpaid players. Nobody seems to take as many shots from other players, whether it be current or former, than Jones, and you know, I think that's ratcheted up already here, where you know, the Vikings had a linebacker say he felt bad for Jones at points during the game when the crowd was booing him. It's like you just never really hear players talk that way about opponents. So that's the view from the outside, and then you know, around the team, the fan base here is like done. You know, it's, you know, one game into year six, and everyone just feel like they're ready to move on. You know, further inside the walls, I mean, the team is rallying around him. But you can't imagine there'll be a very long leash if he performs like he did in the opener. You know, it could honestly be like Sunday could be a make or break for him, because if he goes out there and does not play well against the Washington defense that just gave up 37 points to Baker Mayfield, I think that's a really probably consider making a change.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's good or not is a whole nother conversation to your point. But why is he such a punching bag, as you put it? I always say with quarterbacks, you're either in the cool kids club or you're not. Like you get the jacket where, I mean, Baker Mayfield has stunk for a long time. He's now played a lot better here since last year in Tampa. But, like, he was a dog, though, and guys liked him and rallied around him. I mean, Daniel Jones just never had that cologne. I don't know if he went to Duke or he's nerdy or he's just quiet. Like, what is it about him that makes him such a target?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably like a sociological experiment to do. Yeah, is it like the kind he comes from that sort of privileged background, a Duke guy. And I think, you know, this probably, he came into the Giants and, you know, everyone thought he was going to be the next Eli Manning. And he was just sort of like put on a pedestal maybe he didn't deserve. But, I mean, you go back, he got booed by Giants fans on draft night when that pick got announced. So he didn't have a very long runway. And then even it's funny, you talk about Baker Mayfield, he's come up here in the first two answers. He took a shot at him in a GQ interview before Jones even played a game, saying basically like how he was saying how teams don't know how to draft quarterbacks, and he used Jones as an example of like, this guy's never won, and, you know, a team took him in the top 10. So, yeah, I don't know what it is exactly. He just sort of has that aura about him where people don't really like him and don't give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, then his play has certainly not helped quiet that down. And it's obviously, you know, had the one stretch there in 2022 where, you know, they thought maybe he could be the guy. And then since then, it's been just an absolute disaster. Basically, since the ink dried on that contract, it's been all downhill from him from there.
The Athletic's Dan Duggan with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Dan, this is tough to quantify, but just want to get your sense of this. My neighbor, my buddy of mine, is a Giants fan, and this is what he said to me. I actually hope he doesn't play well this weekend because I don't want anyone to have any kind of excuses. Like, how common do you think that sentiment is among Giants fans? Almost like actively rooting against him to force some kind of change versus just booing because they're frustrated.
No, I think that's real. I think there's a lot of Giants fans are just done with him. They didn't love the contract, but they feel like, all right, you know, maybe that playoff season was the start of something. Obviously, last year was a disaster. Like a lot of fans want to move on in the draft. You know, we saw in Hard Knocks that, you know, Jay Shane and the Giants wanted to move on, which that adds sort of a backdrop. I think it kind of takes a little bit of the safety net away, is where it's like the team can't shield him and say, oh, we love Daniel. It's like, no, we saw very clearly that you were willing to trade up. I mean, Brian Daboll's in Hard Knocks saying he'd be willing to trade up for Jaden Daniels. So that just kind of makes for an awkward backdrop to a lot of this stuff. Like this week, Brian Daboll has to answer questions about that. It's just kind of awkward. So he knows the team doesn't really have his back. You're asking about the fans. No, I definitely think that's a sentiment that exists. Because, listen, I think what the most likely outcome is, you know, Daniel Jones goes out on Sunday, plays okay, you know, throws for 200 yards, two touchdowns. They win 20-13, so it kind of quiets down the bench Daniel Jones chatter. But where does that get the team? You know what I mean? They're going to be 1-1. Then they play at Cleveland. Then they get Dallas on a Thursday night. So probably right back where we are, you know, right now in a couple of weeks. So I can see fans just saying, I want to rip the Band-Aid off. Go out and stink in Washington. There'll be no excuses. They'll have to make a change. Because, listen, I don't think Drew Lock can perform any better necessarily, but I can at least – sympathize with fans who just want something different. And I think that's where a lot of fans are at.
I was actually going to say, well, where does it get them if they play Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito? I don't know that gets them anywhere either. Our guest is Dan Duggan, covers the Giants for The Athletic. How about the rest of the offense? Where's the offensive line at in its build? I know that was a big emphasis watching their offseason Hard Knocks. They were terrible last season, gave up a record number of sacks. And what about the weaponry and how it's coming along, Malik Nabers being the key ingredient?
Yeah, and listen, if it was just Daniel Jones playing bad in the opener, I think it would be a lot easier to stomach. But nobody really played well in that game. And again, he's the focal point, and you know, if he played better, I think it would have helped other guys. But nobody really had a good game for the Giants. The offensive line was certainly not the disaster it was last year, which, you know, it was historically bad, and it was just, I mean, they were just putting guys out there that weren't even NFL players. They're much better than that. But I think the ceiling for this group is like league average. And again, that's I can't understate. That would be a huge improvement for the Giants, but it's still not going to be a great line. You have Andrew Thomas at left tackle, who's a great player. Everyone else is kind of journeyman vets, or John Michael Schmitz is a second-year guy who didn't really show a lot as a rookie. So they're just hoping that's a passable group. And I would say in the opener they were. I mean, the run blocking wasn't very good. Even if you look at the box score, 5 sacks. One of those was Jones trying to scramble, and he got caught like at the line of scrimmage. I think the protection was fine. He either held the ball too long or scrambled into sack. So the O-line was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. And then, yeah, the weaponry, obviously, you know, they watched Saquon Barkley score 3 touchdowns last Friday night. And then, you know, I think they know there's a downgrade there, but certainly Devin Singletary and none of the young backs really distinguished themselves. Nabers is the guy. I mean, he was awesome in training camp. Even last week, you know, it was his first game. It was a quiet game. You know, the offense really didn't do much. Still had 4 catches for, you know, 60-some-odd yards. So, like, if that's going to be a bad game as a rookie, I think it kind of tells you, you know, the impact he could have. But aside from him, nobody made any plays. Like, so, I mean, it was just a really depressing effort. I mean, they scored 6 points. Both of them came on short fields after turnovers. So it wasn't as if they even had, like, one really good drive. They just did not play well. I mean, obviously, I said, started at the quarterback, but nobody had a great game for the Giants.
Dan, you've chronicled this thing for a while, and we're talking about sort of the state of the union for the Giants here. Regardless of what's been going on over the last several years, the Giants have just owned Washington, 8-3-1 over their last 12 matchups. I know neither team is particularly good, but that's like Chiefs over the Raiders kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, what? Do your best, quantify it. How's that happened? How's it been that way?
No, it's crazy. And that's why I'm like, you know, if you're Daniel Jones and you have to have kind of a make or break game, he couldn't have picked a better opponent.
No kidding.
You know, this is certainly the team that he has to feel confident going against. Now, I know it's kind of like silly for us to say that because you go back to some of those wins, that's like two or three coaching staffs to go for the Giants and probably for the Commanders, you know, as I think about it. But there is still something. He goes in that building. He certainly feels comfortable. You know, some of the players obviously have been there for a while. But yeah, I mean, I do think there is a difference where, I mean, I think he lost his success, you know, against Jack Del Rio defenses. So, you know, and he did not have very much success against Dan Quinn defenses the last 3 years. Now, again, I know the personnel in Dallas much different than what you guys have in Washington right now, but that might be a little bit of an equalizer. Whereas, you know, I think that they were very comfortable going against that defense the last couple of years. So I think at least schematically, you know, it'll probably be more of a challenge this week. You know, again, I don't know if Washington's personnel is you know, kind of up to par, but yeah, I mean, listen, if you're the Giants, there's nobody you want to see on the schedule more this Sunday for, you know, things are already looking pretty bleak here. So if you're going to try to turn things around, seeing Washington on the schedule has to be kind of the best-case scenario for them.
Dan Duggan covers the Giants for The Athletic in New York on Grant and Danny. Am I wrong in assuming Neighbors is the only guy, really, who can dominate Washington secondary, which is a real poor spot for this defense, but I don't worry about anybody other than Malik Neighbors?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would say this. Like, the Giants' strength of their offense has to be their receivers, but yeah, it's a lot of it is kind of potential or young guys who haven't really, you know, made their marks yet. But so obviously Neighbors is that guy who I think, you know, if someone could have a game, you know, a game-breaking performance, it'd be him. You have Wandell Robinson, who, you know, he's kind of an underneath guy, sort of a slot, gadgety guy. So, you know, he'll have the ball in his hands a lot, so, you know, maybe he makes a big play. Darius Slayton's kind of like old reliable here where, you know, no one ever like seems to want him. And then by the end of the year, you look up and he leads the team receiving. And then Jalen Hyatt's kind of the wild card. He really didn't play a lot in the opener. But a guy they traded up for in the third round last year, I believe against Washington, the game here last year, he had a long catch or two. Like, he'll do that. Like, he, if you know, if you leave him one-on-one on the outside, he's a threat to, you know, have a 40-yard catch down the sideline. The problem and why he didn't play a lot is he hasn't really developed much of anything else. But so, I mean, that's four guys there that at least bring something to the table. So again, if Daniel Jones is going to have a bounce back performance, it's going to be because of those guys downfield and chiefly Neighbors. I mean, he is definitely the guy who has that ability to really be a kind of a game-changing presence.
Dan, you mentioned the Hard Knocks offseason. It was great theater for us. I can't imagine it was, you know, anything less than that for you guys up there, especially, you know, just the access is just unbelievable. What we got, a lot of insight. But I wonder what the feeling was after that, or kind of even during, for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, respectively. Just, to me, I wouldn't be inspired if I was watching that as a Giants fan, going, they're talking about players the way, like, me and my fantasy buddies talk about a guy. Like, did he have a good year last year? Nah, I was kind of slowed down as a running back. Or just, it was like this surface level conversation making these multi-million-dollar decisions. What's the big picture thought right now on Daboll and Shane?
No, I'm with you. I definitely had that impression too. Like, really? That's how you made these decisions? I mean, listen, we have to at least acknowledge that, you know, they're in these buildings 16, 18 hours a day and we're getting snippets of conversation. Right. And I'm sure some of maybe the real granular stuff either HBO edited out or the Giants didn't want out because of competitive reasons. They don't maybe want to get into their analytical breakdowns of certain players. But yeah, you know, some of those conversations definitely came across very surface level. You know, I think what happens a lot of times with the, you know, how these regimes are evaluated, the coach is kind of the one who's in the firing line. He talks to the media every day. You see him on the sideline every Sunday. But I think Daboll has probably done a better job in his 2 years. And listen, that's not saying much based on where they are right now. But if you look in the totality of it, you know, he won Coach of the Year in 2022 because he got a pretty weak roster to the playoffs. No one saw that coming, won a playoff game. You know, Shane came in, obviously inherited a bad situation, like every new GM does. And, you know, not too many GMs win the Super Bowl and then ride off into the sunset. So he had a bad roster, a bad cap situation. But now we're in year three. This is the time when you want to see that first draft class. You had two top 10 picks, Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, in that first draft class. You want to start seeing those guys making strides. You want to see the free agent additions, the trades, all these things he's done really start to get your team, you know, over the hump. And it feels like at best they're running in place. So, I mean, I think that This is a big year for both of those guys. Again, usually the GM, he has like more grace. But I mean, I just look at this roster right now, and man, for year three, there's still a lot of holes. And, you know, the biggest one being quarterback, you've been here 3 years, they haven't addressed it. You know, they obviously doubled down on Daniel Jones after 1 year. So now you're going to go into next offseason if we fast forward and things don't change. Still needing to fill the most important position on the field and then not feeling like at least the rest of the roster is in great shape. So, yeah, it's like I said, you can probably hear it in my answers here. Things are pretty bleak around this team right now, and I know it's only 1 week and things can change, but it was a very discouraging start.
That's relatable content, I will say, Dan. Although with year one of a new quarterback and a new coach, we're going to be a lot more patient. But I think people were expecting a lot more than we saw in that first game, something you guys know all about. Speaking of expectations, though, the one area of the Giants that I feel like just needs to be good because the talent is there is getting to the quarterback. You know, they trade for Brian Burns. They still have Kayvon Thibodeau, who only had one pressure last week but is owned Washington. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best players in the league at the position. So I guess, number one, how did they do against Minnesota? I know Sam Darnold lit it up just getting home. And then secondly, is there any reason to believe they shouldn't be able to win the line of scrimmage up front against Washington this week?
Yeah, no, so Minnesota, disappointing, like I said, all the way around. The only guy I think you could probably say showed up was Dexter Lawrence. I mean, he is just a monster. Like, he really is at that point now where he could maybe take the mantle from, you know, Aaron Donald being retired. And, you know, I know Chris Jones is still kind of at the top of his game, but he's going to be in that conversation, I think, this year. I mean, he just dominates guys. It's crazy. And I assume you'll see it again on Sunday. I know Washington's interior is maybe better than their tackles, but, I mean, I don't think anybody there is going to be able to match up with Dexter Lawrence one-on-one, and he beats double teams. So it's like he's just a problem week in, week out. But the edges were a disappointment. You know, I mean, like I said, they made all that investment in Brian Burns with the trade and the huge contract, and like I said, I touched on Thibodeau, you know, number five pick a couple years ago. Like, they have built this team and this defense. If they're going to win, it's because the pass rush is going to dominate games. I mean, the secondary is young, it's unproven, so it needs to be, you know, that front four just getting after the quarterback. Did not happen. Sam Darnold completed his first 12 passes, was never really in trouble, just kind of picked them apart methodically. You know, that obviously, that's why you lose games 28-6. They just couldn't impact the game enough. Now, you fast forward to Washington. The one thing Minnesota has is really good tackles. I look at Washington's tackles, they're certainly not in that class. And if Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau don't, you know, kind of dominate this game or have a, you know, big impact on this game, that would be alarming. Because, I mean, you just look at the talent you're going against and what the Giants have invested in these guys. They need to take this game over. I mean, I guess with Jaden Daniels, maybe you're not going to get as many sacks because, you know, he's obviously elusive and he's going to take off. But they need to be chasing him out of that pocket and making life hard for him. Because, again, that's how this defense is built to win. It's not going to be because they have this great secondary. It has to be the guys up front taking control of the game.
Dan, any key injuries or maybe like half a dozen guys that probably just need to rest to give Washington a good chance? And then give me your prediction.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that's a little bit of a concern is Malik Nabers popped up on the injury report yesterday, limited with, you know, it says just like knee soreness. And, you know, Dable said he's fine. He's listed as a full participant, not questionable. But, you know, we only got to see a little bit of practice today. But, he doesn't look like a guy who's 100%. So, I mean, listen, if that knee doesn't feel great, you know, I think that could help Washington for sure. Because, again, as I touched on, he's kind of the engine that's going to make this thing go. But, again, they're saying there's no concerns. So, you know, I guess we'll just see. I mean, the guy played every snap in his first game as a rookie, so they're certainly going to lean on him. So if his workload is limited, that'll be noteworthy. And as far as prediction, I put it in print this morning, so I don't want to like contradict myself. I think I said like Giants 23-16. Like, I think it'll be a typical Giants Commanders game. Certainly not the most beautiful, aesthetically pleasing game. I think, you know, Daniel Jones will find a little bit of that magic to do enough to kind of like save his job for a week. And, you know, again, like, I just think if this defense can't control this game, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know who they're going to stop, because it needs to be a lot better than it was last week against Sam Darnold.
Dan, thank you for the time and all the insight helping us scout the Giants. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
Appreciate
Check
you,
out
buddy.
Dan's work in The Athletic, Dan Duggan, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Danny, it's hilarious to me that the conversations are so similar in the two markets.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it really is amazing. I cannot tell you, listening right after their game on Tuesday to New York radio, about how disappointing week one was. Thank God you've got this opponent in week two. You need to look better on both sides of the ball, and, you know, going into this game. If not this game, then when? It's like the Spider-Man meme. I mean, these teams are both looking at each other, just pointing at each other.
The difference, and Dan pointed this out, if we're still here in year three, like they are, of this Shane Daboll thing.
Oh, I'd be livid.
I mean, oh my God. Blood pressure medication, a padded room. Like, I won't be able to handle it. So that's the only saving grace to me, is that this is year one, cleaning out the you know, the poltergeist from Ron and the Marty Party. We're still trying to do that more so than we are building towards the future, I think. So maybe we need to be more patient, but I don't have 3 years of patience to tell you that.
Let's look at some of the FanDuel projections for how the game's going to play out. What do we think Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler have in store for the Giants? We'll do some over-unders with the stats next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. I heard him talking about Maryland, Virginia as part of the college slate this weekend. Used to be the ACC rivalry.
I remember that.
We would get that one every year. Here's what I don't understand, though. How is Maryland a 2.5-point favorite only on Virginia? Maryland came into the season, way different conversation than the Cavaliers, obviously. The look-ahead line I saw last week on that game was almost 10 points. Now, I know that Maryland lost and Virginia won this past week. And in pretty impressive fashion, Virginia came back to stun Wake Forest 31-30. And they threw the ball for like 357 and three through the air. But still, 2.5 points separating Maryland and Virginia, even though the game's in Charlottesville, makes no sense to
me. That seems a little light.
That's not a good sign if you're the Terps.
No, it is not.
Coming off of their 27-24 dud where they lost to Michigan State, which was a dagger because everything was aligning for them to get off to a strong start again this year.
A few of my best buddies went to UVA, and after, I think they lost week one this year. I can't remember when this was, but there was a funny text chain that we're all on where they were sending fake headlines, like fake editorials, where it's like, column, should Virginia cancel its football program? Column, should they take all the money that was going to be for football and put it into volleyball? Like just like stuff like that because it's gotten so bad. So that's not a great sign for the Terps being for real or them being back or big back or he a Terp or whatever we're supposed to be doing.
Virginia's 2-0. They just destroyed Richmond in the first game of the season.
So it must have been last year.
And then they beat Wake Forest, yeah. But regardless, I was very surprised. I thought that'd be 6.5, 7-point line. But basically, you know, that's 4 points separate the two teams, you know, with the home field advantage or whatever baked into that line. All right, let's bring producer Darius onto the show so that we can go through some projections for the Commanders players. We'll use my beloved FanDuel Sportsbook app to get some of the numbers. We're looking at their individual props. So these are the yards they're projecting for various players. You and I will play a little over-under here.
Well, hello there, Grant and Danny.
Hi, Darius.
Jaden Daniels. Let's start with QB1 of the Washington Commanders. His passing total is set at 197.5, over or under.
That is an under situation. I don't believe in their passing game. I don't think it's dynamic enough. I don't think they've got that tool in the bag just yet.
I'll say over. That's a low total in the 100s. And it's a game, really, there's either way the game script plays out, you should be able to get there. You should either be able to get to 200 because you're balanced and it's the Giants and you're making plays and that's why you win. Or if you're chasing the game and you're trailing, then it's really hard not to throw for 200 yards in a come-from-behind fashion if you're on the field for four quarters. So if it was 235 or something, I'd feel very, very different. But in the 190s, plus all week long, Jaden Daniels has been hearing that he ran too much, that he didn't throw the ball enough. I think he makes a point. He stands in the pocket. He makes some throws downfield. Remember, they almost hit on a 70-yard touchdown
yep.
this past week where Terry McLaurin was wide open. That gets you a third of the way to that total or more. That's like 35%, 40% of that total. So I'll say they get there this week.
The reigning rookie of the week here in 2024, Jaden Daniels, has his rushing total set at 51.5 rushing yards after rushing for 88 last week.
That's an over. 88 was low considering it was 14 attempts, like true attempts, when you take away the kneel down and the rushing attempt they gave him that was on an errant pass behind the line of scrimmage. So it's really like 14 for 88. But there's not a explosive like 38-yarder in there, which is coming. You know, maybe it's a 50-yarder. Maybe it's a 70-yard touchdown. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility. We're going to get a couple of those, I think, this year with Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to say over 50-plus yards. You saw it like I did. He wants to run. He is here to chew bubble gum and make plays with his feet, and he might be out of bubble gum. I just hope they incorporate more of the passing game with it, but this is the superpower. Let him wear the cape. Let's do this thing. I'm hoping for like a 7-8 carry performance where he's in the 60s or 70s rushing, and I think he'll get there.
This is what the offense can do. He is going over that total. That's going to be my sort of stance here until further notice, until proven otherwise, until defense is taken away, until this offense adjusts and shows me signs of life, I'm going to hammer that over.
Let's keep it with the running game. Brian Robinson set at 52.5 rushing yards.
This one's a little trickier. I actually like this Giants front better than Tampa's front. I know they were a little bit banged up talking about last week. I think the Giants are smart enough to go, we can't allow this. We're going to make them beat us through the air. So I think they actually bottle up Brian Robinson this week. I think got a slight under, right around 49, 50 yards, I think, total.
Over for me for B-Rob. Watching them and the Vikings, they didn't do a very good job on Minnesota's running game, particularly in the part of the game where Minnesota wasn't obviously running because they were ahead by a million points. You know, early on with balance, Aaron Jones ripped off a 19-yarder, averaged 6.7 a pop. There was just a lot of space to be had there. The Vikings did the correct thing with a smart offensive-minded head coach who I love and admire in Kevin O'Connell. They came out throwing the football to set up the run, and it worked very well. But I think there's going to be enough room there. Robinson's going to run for over that total.
And we'll close out the rushing totals with Austin Eckler, our weekly guest on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny, of course. 18.5 rushing yards.
Under, and I'm annoyed about it. They're not going to give him the football enough. I'm going to scream and yell on Monday about his usage. I just don't see them seeing the clear as day obvious fact that he needs the football more.
Yeah, I'll go under as well. I think he's going to be way more involved this week. I've got to imagine that they saw what I saw when they watched back and saw that he was shifty and had some wiggle in the open field and just did a lot of things well. But I think they're going to prioritize getting the football through the air. Would not surprise me, honestly, if he had like 4 or 5 carries, you know, out of the shotgun. And if he does, I think that's over 20. So, in fact, I'm kind of talking myself into the over here.
Live right there.
It's not too late. I'll say over 5 carries, like 24 yards. But I do think it's going to be like a 6-catch game for him for somewhere around 60 yards or so. I think it's going to be a very productive Austin Eckler game. I think he and Robinson will be the big producers in their offense for Daniels.
If the Commanders are going to get the air game going, they've got to get Terry McLaurin going. They have his receiving total set at 48.5.
That is just so sad, by the way. Wide receiver 1, NFL offense, 48.5 is the over-under total.
Doesn't he make $23 million man or whatever he is?
I mean, oh my God. Neighbors, just by way of example, is 66.5 in this game. That's his over-under. That's the, hey, people are going to be on both sides of this. People on both sides of Terry McLaurin sub 50 yards. Oh my God, everyone should be so embarrassed. Under, he's a receiver. He plays for Washington.
I'll say over because it's very, very low. I don't feel great about it. I don't think he's going to go for 100 or catch 10 balls, but 48 yards? I need him to get 51 on 7 catches or something? Just falling forward a couple times after screens? I will say he goes over that.
Things are so rough, they don't even have another receiver listed with props here, so we're going to go to the running backs again. Brian Robinson set at 11.5 receiving yards.
Well, that's a easy over, and I'll just skip ahead to Austin Eckler. What's his at?
Austin Eckler, who you can listen to on Tuesdays with Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan, 5 o'clock.
Right there.
19.5 receiving yards for Austin Eckler.
Over for both. I mean, again, I think they are the keys to the offense. I'm watching Austin Eckler mic'd up today. The Commanders put out this like 6-minute video of him mic'd up in Tampa Bay. And he's, as you can imagine, as advertised, like so likable and just a good dude roaming around talking to everybody. But at one point, like after, and we don't know what drive it was, but presumably one of the two good ones, Dan Quinn came over to him and Brian Robinson, and he's like, there you go, guys. Way to do it. That's who we are right there. Keep it up. And I don't know if he meant, like, he basically said something like, you guys got it going. That's who we are. Like, there was never really a drive where they ran it well with those two. So I'm guessing he means who we are is we're going to throw it to you two and you can matriculate the ball. I don't know. And there wasn't enough context there. But I do think they're both going to catch a lot of passes this season, and they're both going to go well over those totals.
Yep, over, respectively, for Robinson and Eckler. That is something I'm going to probably, I might even wager some money on that, because they're not wide receivers. This is where the offense is going. That's what they do.
Still looking for a prop on another wide receiver.
To scan.
No, keep don't scrolling have one here. Down.
I mean, Theo Johnson has a prop in this game. Who is Theo Johnson?
Penn State tight end.
He won't go under.
Who's Theo Johnson? Right now, if you're in your car, who's Theo Johnson? Look it up.
You feel so good about Theo Johnson being a nobody.
I don't know who Theo Johnson is my point. I have never heard the name Theo Johnson until I read it. That guy's got a prop on FanDuel. All right? No other Washington wideout has a prop. Come on.
It's early.
Why do you sleep on the silly tight end from Penn State? What's going on? Come on.
Theo Johnson.
Zach Ertz, they do have a prop for him at 22.5 receiving yards.
Over. Yeah, I'm shocked he didn't do more last week or wasn't targeted.
He had 30-some last week, right?
He did, but a couple of those were on the final drive, garbage time, a couple little hitch routes. He needs to be more involved. There's no reason. I mean, if you're not going to throw to receivers, by God, please throw to a tight end.
I've got over there also. I think he can fall down 3 or 4 times, just get past that marker.
We'll do a couple Giants here just for fun. Daniel Jones, they have his passing total set at 208.5. Blech.
208.5. I am right there. I'll say over. I'm going to have him at like 217. Now, I think they run the ball pretty well in this game.
That's the Giants do?
My sneaky thought. Ooh. I think this is a Devin Singletary game. But I think Malik Nabers goes for like 86. And Daniel Jones goes for about 215 or so. You know who's going to have a big game? It's Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson. By the way, he's now destined to have a great game.
Every time... Please, I'm begging you guys. Every time Theo Johnson gets a target, a catch, is involved in any way, please tweet Danny and tell Danny it's his fault.
Yeah, Theo Johnson has a prop. That's all I'm saying. Over. Daniel Jones is playing Washington. He goes for 246 and two scores.
That's so tough. And then I believe you guys both already have the overs on Malik Nabers, who's set at 66.5.
Well, I don't know that you've said anything yet, Danny, but I definitely do. I mean, Malik Nabers, I'm hard in the paint for him. You guys know my hot take was I liked him better than Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out. Now, that'll end up probably looking foolish because Harrison's so refined and legit, but I love Malik Nabers. I thought he was the best receiver in America last year. Big, big fan. I don't think they got a guy that can cover him. The only hope, in my opinion, for him not having a really good game is that whatever this knee thing is bothers him enough that he's not as explosive and as dynamic as he normally will be.
That's where I'm going. I'm actually going to take the under on this one because I think his knee is bothering him, and I do think that a slight adjustment will be made this week where he'll be bracketed, blanketed. There'll be all sorts of attention paid to him because no one else can beat you. It wasn't the case at Tampa Bay last week where McMillan could beat you, Godwin can beat you, Rashad White out of the backfield beat them. Everyone can. No one can do anything on that offense in New York. So I actually think Nabers will be limited. He's going to go for 60 yards.
We need to put these together to kind of figure out who ended up hitting on more after each game rather than just throwing them out into the ether. I think that could be fun. But mainly, as a reminder, I want you, when Theo Johnson catches a pass, to put down your waffle box that you got when you walked in.
Right.
Put that down under your seat. Grab your phone and then tweet at Funny Danny and let him know that the great
Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson just made a play. You don't remember him at Penn State at all, huh?
Not even a little bit. When was he there? Last year? Is he a rookie? Is he in his seventh year? Like, if you guys were like, he actually went to Hawaii, I wouldn't know the difference. Like, a guy that I have never heard of until right now has a FanDuel prop. Like, no one's talking about the most important point. Everyone's making fun of me about this Theo Johnson thing, which is fine. Like, I've screamed all offseason, Washington needs more at receiver. There's no other receiver on the board here that's even got a prop worth investigating. You see what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Like the company that is in business to say, hey, don't you want to wager on this guy? Don't you want to find out if he has more or less than this? There's nobody that even registers for a company that's in the business to make money.
I understand your point, and I'm not upset. I'm just trying to let you know.
Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson was one of the big names in the draft. I mean, at tight end. He was like the athlete everybody thought would go high. He went a little later than was thought. Mm-hmm. Fourth round, barely. He was like just outside of the top 100.
Yeah.
He's their starting tight end.
Well, we got Ben Sinnott, who was on the field for 10 snaps last week. So in your face, I guess.
He is their Ben Sinnott, basically.
Yeah. So he didn't play at all?
No, he caught a ball for 18 yards.
Look at that.
So, by the way, there's his over.
There's his over. Right. If he gashes on a seam route for 18 yards and does that, like, hey, it's a first down.
Friday means we went off the field. What little tiny thing made your day better, made you smile that nobody else would care about? We'll open up our phones so that you can cheer people up with a little what if next. 800-636-1067. We're blitzing coming up in 20 minutes on The Fan. Time to figure out how you're winning off the field on Grant and Danny. Welcome back. Thanks for making the show part of your day. We'll take you up to 6:15 tonight. The question is, what's gone right in your day that you feel good about that made you smile that nobody else would care about? These are tiny little mini moral victories. You can line up your calls now at 800-636-1067. I'll give you an example. I will be going to an NFL regular season football game in person.
Oh.
For the first time in about 8 months on Sunday. And just the smell of that freshly cut grass and the tailgate scene in the parking lot as I'm walking up to the stadium and the fact that I am back at an NFL game is going to put me in a mood of both nostalgia and happiness. And for those things, I am.
Winning off the field.
This morning, I was looking for a match to a sock. So you'll notice, if you look up here, GP, I've got the same sock on. Like, both feet, they're matching socks. And that was in doubt. I'm looking around, I'm scrambling, I'm in the sock drawer, I find one of these socks, I'm like, what the hell happened to the other one? Like, what's going on? And I'm going through and not trying to not unfold folded laundry to find that sock. You know what I mean? Because like, it's here somewhere. I'm not going to lose this sock. I become determined, right? I go out of the dryer. I do the move where you touch the roof of the dryer. You spin the thing around. See, maybe it got stuck on one of the sides. I'm checking all over the place. And wouldn't you know it, what had happened was, I went back to the original scene of the crime, to my room, and I'd open up the dresser. Somehow, I don't know how I did this, but I did it. The matching sock had fallen out of the drawer and gone right behind me. You're asking how that happened? I have no idea. But the long story short is, I find the second sock. It's not like lost. I'm not like frustrated about it. It just took a little bit, but I found it. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
The world's an imperfect place. Socks fall out of drawers all the time, Danny. I have to ask you a question, though.
Sure.
Do you normally fold your socks into like the firm ball?
Yeah, I do the ball up.
Are you the guy that just the top of the sock folded down?
No, I do the ball up, and I'm,
I do too. So you have balls of socks,
yeah,
in your drawer.
Yeah, and every once in a while, like generally the way it works around the homestead is like I hate all things laundry. Like if my wife didn't exist, I would pay to have my laundry done, folded, and returned to me. Whatever the cost. I hate it. There's nothing I hate more. But most of the time it's like, hey, here's your stuff. You can fold it how you want, put it away as you want. Every once in a while, my wife is like, I will do it for you, which is so sweet, so kind, so nice, so awesome. So she may have a different system sometimes of sock foldage and or ball up or kind
she's
of whatever.
Not a sock ball guy?
I don't know that she is or isn't. It's just sort of like she's trying to get through and get it
whatever
done, which
it
I
is.
Get. I'm not doing me a favor. I'm not going to question the favor. So in this case, it seems there wasn't a ball up or wasn't a firm ball up. You follow me? So, when I ball it up, I could throw those pair
so
together.
So I think there's like three ways for your socks to be done.
Mm-hmm.
One is you just have loose socks in your drawer and you match them as you put them
which
on.
Which is just insane to me.
Those people are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Two is what I do, and it sounds like what you do, mm-hmm. which is the sock ball.
Yeah.
You can play baseball with it.
Yes.
It's firm. You throw it. Someone
you would
could
feel
hit it.
If it hits you.
Yeah. You hit it.
Wouldn't
hit
hurt,
someone
but you'd
in
feel
the back.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's you know, like a tape ball or something hitting you in the back. The third thing is just the fold down enough to keep them together,
mm-hmm.
but then like the end, the other parts of the sock are also loose. So if you threw it, if there's nothing to ball
it could fly
about,
apart.
Was it like that?
I think it might have been like that. Because
that's tough.
Her focus is generally on folding shirts and things so meticulously to the point where I go, that's a big waste of time. That takes too long, but that's how she does it. Socks, she's just trying to get through.
Let's get to the listening audience, see how they're winning off the field. Steve's in Warrington. Hello, Steve.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Doing very well.
Good. So this morning I was running a little late to work. Microwaved breakfast burrito. Left it in the microwave and left half. And then didn't have enough time to stop for breakfast. But when I got to work, the boss had bought donuts for everybody. So therefore, I was
winning off the field.
It's a good feeling
when you think you don't have breakfast and then you do.
Somebody has some extra,
mm-hmm.
and they say, "Would you like some?" And you say, "You bet." Brian in Reston, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Brad.
So Grant, you were saying a couple weeks ago that you went to an Arsenal bar and had a blast, right?
We did. We were in Richmond. We just stumbled in, yeah.
So this weekend is a massive, massive game for Arsenal. It's the equivalent of Cowboys, Commanders. I almost used the old term.
Sure.
But first thing first, if you're going to be an Arsenal fan, you have to learn what do we think of Tottenham and what's your reply to that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Can we say it on the air or we can't?
Do we, so we don't like them?
It is not safe for work.
Okay.
It is not safe for work. And
yeah,
we don't like them at all. But I have two twin boys named Kieran and Declan, and I actually named them after Arsenal players, and I ordered new kits for them, and they just came in the mail with their names on the back and the little numbers. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
There you go.
There
for those of you that missed the story, Danny and I had an event in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
that was a lot of fun to kick off the football season with some of our listeners down there on AM 910 and FM 105.1. The sports bar that I know down there that I used to go to all the time when I would go to Redskins training camp. It's called Gus's. I walk in, and there's an Arsenal game on TV, and there's 700 Arsenal fans chanting and screaming and doing the whole thing every time anybody kicks a soccer ball. And by the end, I had just kind of fallen in love with the whole vibe and decided I needed to watch more games like that.
Yeah, and I was there already somehow. Like,
yes, that was also weird.
I'm hanging on my buddy Brad. We got some time to kill before we had to be at the venue. And he's like, hey, there's a bar around the corner. You want to just go grab some wings? I said, yeah, great. And we walked in, and it's like, We all know it. We sing a song. Everybody sing. Everybody all sing. I'm like, how does everyone know the words? What is this?
It reminded me of almost like a cheerleading routine where one of the cheerleaders just says a couple words like aggressive, and everyone's like, B aggressive, B E aggressive, B E A G G R E S S I V E, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, but then these guys from Richmond are singing with like, we're British accents, and we sing like this. And it's like, I don't know what this is.
But one guy would shout something, and everyone knew it.
And they knew immediately.
Tony in Woodbridge, what's up?
So nobody wanted the tickets that I was so graciously offering.
Oh,
so I'm going to have to go to the game. But not all is lost. At least I get to see Wale perform during the halftime. So therefore, I am
winning off the field.
There you go. By way of nobody wanting your tickets.
There you go.
Silver linings. Playbook. I think, is what we're
Beat
talking
me to
about.
It. Beat me to it.
Alex is in Woodbridge.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Hey, buddy.
Tottenham fans, I have to say, Arsenal, stand up. That's about why.
We have stumbled into something here,
on
by
the
way.
Phones. Wow. Maybe I got to now watch a game at a Tottenham bar, and I'll tell you.
Is it more fun than Arsenal bars?
The Irish Channel right by where the Caps and Wizards play. It's a Tottenham bar.
Okay. I am intrigued.
Wow.
Okay. So my dad is sick. He lives in North Carolina. I had to go visit him, help take care of him. And my teenage son plays high school football here in Northern Virginia. It's raining in North Carolina this morning as I'm driving back. And I'm like, man, I do not have it in me after dealing with my sick dad to sit through the rain to watch high school sports. Because, you know, this is the good time of year for the weather, usually, for watching your kid play sports. You're not too hot, you're not too cold, and I'm just, like, in a crappy mood as I'm driving through North Carolina. I get to Richmond, sunny blue skies.
Attaboy.
It's going to be a perfect night to watch high school football, and I am, therefore, winning off the field.
Winning off the field?
What team does your son play for? Is he a Viking?
He plays for James Madison High School in Vienna.
In Vienna.
All right.
The Warhawks. Yeah.
Madison Warhawk. Yeah. Attaboy. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Alex. We appreciate you, and all the best to your father as well. Sorry to hear that. Let's go to Vinny in Seat Pleasant on Grant and Danny. What's up, Vinny?
Fellas, how you doing today, man?
Hope all is well.
Chilling. You too.
Last night, I went out to the movies with a close friend to the Alamo Draft House. Got there a little late. They gave us a 15-minute grace period, but we missed it. They locked the doors and we couldn't get in. So we couldn't do anything about the refund because I got the tickets through Fandango. But on our way out, the manager caught us at the door, gave us some free movie passes for tonight and some free movie snacks. So therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
I'm glad that worked out.
What movie are you going to see, Vinny?
Beetlejuice.
Okay. All right. I'd like to say I'm going to see that, but I'm not going to.
You got no interest in that one?
I just don't. I'm sorry. Because
the original one came out before you were really... like around, or
it seems weird. The costume, the whole deal. It's just not for me.
It is definitely weird. It's a Tim Burton weird movie, but yeah. The first one was great.
You could stop at Tim Burton.
Right. It's just not for you.
I'm just pretty much out. But here's the deal. Is there popcorn? Is there some Coke Zero? You could probably trick me into it, but you'd have to work at it a little bit. But I just have zero interest. But I'll go to a movie. There's something else I could see. I'll go with you.
Is there anything out right now that's worth the damn?
You can go see Beetlejuice. There isn't, actually, because I was just looking the other day, and I was like, nah, I don't really want to see that. There's a couple things I've already seen that were pretty good. But you could find something.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, we're down the depth chart a little ways. All right, there you go. Winning off the field on Grant and Danny. Good round. Well done, everybody. We appreciate you. Let's blitz next. The teams in town you care the most about at 525 tonight. What will you be saying if the Commanders win as opposed to if they lose? We're Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.